starting a new series in the season of Lent. Now, maybe Lent is not a season that you grew up with in the church. I didn't grow up in a church that celebrated Lent. But for 2,000 years, nearly 2,000 years, the church has had these particular seasons of the church year. So you don't have to be a Lent observer, or you can be a Lent observer. There's a lot of freedom in this. But for us, the next 40 days are going to be important. We're building something that I think will be beautiful. As I have loved you, how Jesus shows us the love of the Father. This morning we took a look at John 13:34, and I'm going to read this for us again. Now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. As I have loved you, love one another. How do we love other people? How we love other people depends on how we think we are loved by God. And so in my sermon today, we are going to talk about the tofu God. We are going to talk about Tetris God, and we're going to talk about 2x4 God. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But depending on how we see the love of God, it will shape the way that we love each other. How do we know how much God loves us? Does it change us? Are our lives transformed by this? Are we functionally living as though we are unloved by God? Some people say that Christians can live as functional atheists. You can live functionally day in and day out as though God's love has no impact on your life. We're going to shine a light on this today. If people are a stress for us, anybody have that? Or a pain, or even downright drudgery, then the way forward may not be to try harder at loving them, but the way forward might be in the revealing that there is something that we have not yet believed about God's love for us. Every day that you encounter somebody that you do not like or cannot love, it is revealing not your lack of love for them, but maybe the lack of how much your imagination has captured how much God loves you. So this Lent, we're going on a journey, and we're going to keep front and center John 13:34. As I have loved you, love one another. Lent is traditionally this season, this 40-day journey before Easter, and it's going to start this week, and we're excited about this. And it's a time where we prepare our hearts to encounter the love of God given to us at Easter through the sacrifice of Jesus. And so this journey has a few parts. On Sunday mornings, we're going to explore the ways that we see and the ways that we don't see God's love for us. We're going to start there because the scripture says, as I have loved you, love one another. So we're going to talk about that. How much do we know the love of God for us? We're going to reveal some of that. It might be a little bit tough at the beginning, and that's why we're going to have a bit of fun with it. And then we're going to explore this other part. So love one another. There's these verses, about 100 of them in the Bible, called the one another's. It's just the way that the Bible has structured a few things. It says, be humble with one another, be kind to one another, love one another. And there's a whole bunch of one another's. And we're going to unpack these. Because every one another we encounter and we go, I can't do that, reveals to us something that the Father wants to show us. So we're going to go on this journey, and I hope it will be insightful. And then as we lead up to Passion Week, then we'll take a look at what Jesus did and how this reveals in totality the heart of the Father for us. So it's a journey. This is what Lent is about. It's 40 days. Some people give up chocolate. I should. I'd love to. I can't. I don't have that kind of willpower. But in the process of giving something up, which you're welcome to do, that's something you're totally free to do. If you give something up, the journey is to discover what God is filling you with instead. So it's a journey. It's kind of meant to be a little bit wintry too. If the winter outside is reflected on the winter you're experiencing inside, then welcome to Lent. Lent is for you. Winter is part of the journey of faith. We are not always meant to live in a season where we produce. My garden only makes strawberries for just a short time every year. The rest of the time, those plants are putting down roots, they're resting, they're gathering in the sun, all of these things. And so Lent is a season that just says quite boldly, I sometimes feel winter inside, and I can't love one another. I can't love another person. I can barely love myself today. But God is maybe able to break in and do something, okay? So we're excited about Lent, and we're going to unpack this in a whole bunch of different ways. Some other pieces that we're doing, we sold out of them over the last few weeks, but if you got yourself a copy of this, we're going to be referencing it a few times. We're hoping everybody will be reading through Trust for Today. We're going to have some evening gatherings. Pastor Evan's going to meet in a pub, befitting of his character, and I'm going to meet in a breakfast early in the morning, befitting of my character, and the two of us will have these wonderful conversations where we're going to be talking about the love of God for us and how that changes the way that we love each other. So just pay attention to some of those things. There's going to be some podcasts come out and some other stuff. Okay, let's dig into it. I'm going to dig into a piece of scripture that we don't often talk about because Jesus gets feisty, and when Jesus gets feisty, it means that we have to pay a little bit of attention. A hippie Jesus is great. We come across him a few times. But sometimes we come across spicy Jesus. Spicy Jesus wants to wake up a group of people. And in this case, there's a whole bunch of different people who are following him. And then there was a group of people that believed in him. So you'd think that he'd say something really pleasant to the people that believed in him, right? There's a whole bunch of people that are against Jesus. He's saying things that are pushing against society in a certain way. And then there it says this, Jesus said to people who believed in him, and then he got spicy. This is where it goes. I realize that you are descendants of Abraham, he says. So every Jewish person is a descendant from Abraham. That is their like great-great-grandfather, the spiritual father of the Jewish faith, and Jesus is spiritual father too. So he says, I realize that you are descendants of Abraham, yet some of you are trying to kill me. Because there's no room in your hearts for my message. I'm telling you what I saw when I was with my father, but you're following the advice of your father. Our father is Abraham, they declared. No, Jesus replied, for if you were really the children of Abraham, you would follow his example. Instead, you're trying to kill me because I told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham never did such a thing. No, you are imitating your real father. Just like, what? They replied, we aren't illegitimate children. God himself is our true father. So Jesus is setting them up and saying, no, because of your behavior, it's revealing who your true father is. And he's holding them up. They're like, no, Abraham's our father. No, we aren't illegitimate. What are you getting at? We don't like this conversation. We don't like where this is leading. You're questioning something very core to us. And Jesus told them, if God were your father, you would love me. If God were your father, you would love me. He says, he goes even further and he says, actually, the father you are following is the devil. And they're just like, what? No, these are religious people. And he's saying to the religious people, he's saying, the father that you go to the temple to worship, the father that you have crafted and sing songs about, all of these things to satisfy your nice middle class existence is the devil. And they are apoplectic, which is my new favorite word. They were mad. They were viscerally mad. And it says that they tried to stone him. Now, Jesus is a little bit crazy here, right? This is not a guy who knows how to build a social media following very well, right? He takes a group of people and he says, you are not following the Father. You see, if God were your Father, you would love me. The Father they are following is making them kill. They are enslaved to this false religious life. And Jesus is shining a bright light on this situation. As long as they mimic the Father of lies, they will kill, destroy, and be bound by their angry hatred and sin. And so Jesus is blunt. As long as you do not love, the father you follow is Satan. This is spicy. He is getting to the core of something here. Telling religious leaders that their lives are about Satan, it's crazy. But here's a secret. Jesus is willing to go here because he knows that their religion won't make them love. It won't set them free. Following a father of lies that makes them kill and destroy and judge and crush and put others under to maintain their nice facade, that's what Jesus is here to totally upturn. Jesus is here to bring an end to religion. He's here to say, that will not do anymore because I have something way better for you. I'm here to show you life. Only a crystal clear knowledge of the Father made visible in the person of Jesus will save them. free them, and make them love again. Jesus is saying, you think you're looking at the Father here, but that's leading you to death. I'm going to show you what this looks like. I'm going to show you how much the Father loves you and what he thinks about you and what he's doing in the world, and you are going to become free. And they said, we have never been slaves to anyone. And he says, it's not about the shackles on your hands. It's about freedom in your heart. Are you free to love others or not? And they don't know what to do. So Jesus does what Jesus does. Jesus says, okay, let's pause here. I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you what happens when the Father himself shows up, and I'm going to be here, and I'm going to show you what love is. It's going to be different. So over the next few chapters of John, from this verse in John 8 to John 13, this is what Jesus does. Jesus heals the blind. He says he's the good shepherd and shows them that. Jesus is revealed as the Son of God. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. He says, that's how far my love goes. Jesus is anointed by Mary. Jesus says he will die for them. And Jesus washes their feet. And some of them are starting to clue in and go, this is not what we expected. He is revealing something different about the Father we thought we were to follow. And it's surprising. In a few short chapters, this Jesus guy reveals the most potent images of love. They keep calling him a demon-possessed man. He says, I can take it, but I'm going to turn around and love. They accuse him of all sorts of things, and he loves. He's a man set on showing how far and how deep the love of God goes to serve, to heal, and to even die for his friends. He's saying, the Father you serve, that's Satan. But I'm going to show you what the real Father is about, because I know the Father. And the Father comes to give life and to heal and to free. And if you're experiencing anything other than that, you aren't following the Father. Let me show you. What the heck? What the heck? This is brand new ground for people. They don't have a framework for this. Gods are something that are supposed to be feared, and here Jesus is coming right into the midst, right into their story. It's unexpected and profound. His followers, they were deer in the headlights, and they didn't have a way to process this. Even when Jesus went so far as to die on the cross, they still didn't have a way to process this. There wasn't a framework for it. It took them a while to figure it out. Jesus says, don't worry, you will. You will. This will all come and make sense. So we may need to be surprised by how much Jesus loves us. And so this morning, we're going to kind of unpeel a few things. I'm going to name, at least in my life, some of the ways that I have overlooked God's love for me. There are three ways that I think, as I was pondering this and preparing, I was like, I don't think I always get God's love for me. I think there's been seasons in my life where I believe something to be true about the Father that are wrong, and they hurt me. And the way I believe something about what the Father thought about me actually made me turn around and treat other people poorly. Because I was just carrying on what I thought was true about this God. And so I lived it out over here. So, I'm going to reveal some of these. And the first one is this. Tofu Jesus. Tofu love. I don't know if you've ever had tofu before. I've done it a few times. Still getting over it. Tofu's bland. Tofu takes on the flavor of things around it. There's some nutrients there. Not a lot. It might get you to, you know, might get you to the end of the street and back again, but it, you know, it really doesn't put some vigor in you, right? Walter Brueggemann, he writes, he says, the gospel is thus a truth widely held, but a truth greatly reduced, a truth that has been flattened, trivialized, and rendered inane. I'll say that again. The gospel is thus a truth widely held, but a truth greatly reduced. It is a truth that has been flattened, trivialized, and rendered inane. This is true. If you ask anybody on the street, what do you think of Jesus? A lot of people would say, yeah, he did some nice things, I'm sure. Do you believe in him? My grandma did. I'm sure he's a good spiritual person, you know? This is a tofu kind of love that people experience from God. He does something pleasant, I think, in the world, right? And so this sense of love, it is not the story of Jesus. It is not something that strikes people at their very heart and says, this is profound. And if we experience the love of Jesus as tasteless, square, bland, and a curd made from mashed soybeans, no disrespect to tofu eaters, we will turn around and love other people with that same kind of love. We will be pleasant and nice, but our love won't extend very far. It will be bland. We have bought into a reduced story in such a way that it might be equated with a flavored sponge. Something that doesn't have much taste in itself, but simply absorbs the flavors of the foods that surround us. But a guy named Everts, he says, maybe Jesus' love is not like tofu, but maybe it is like Warhead sour candies. Have you ever had a Warhead sour candy before? I'm going to pass around a bowl here. I want everybody to take a Warhead sour candy here. Pass that bowl back, and if you could take some too and pass it back. Warhead sour candy. These are pretty potent. I'd like everybody to take one and unwrap it, and together, if you are brave enough, we're going to eat one here. Let me tell you why. If you put one of these into your mouth, your body will immediately have two reactions. The first reaction is to spit it out as fast as you can, because if you ate tofu for breakfast, this is the opposite of tofu, right? This is something that will wake you up in the morning, and it will have a jarring taste. It will be spicy for you. It will shock you. I gave these to my daughter, both of them, and we had a lot of fun. It was like they woke up very, very quick. They want to take it out. Then they laugh, and then they do the second thing. That's to put it back in, right? At first, when you have a Warhead candy, you want to spit it out, but then it jolts us enough, it startles us enough, that we want to put it back in and say, where is this going? What is this about? Does everybody have one yet? Have they made their way, they're working their way back? Hopefully I got enough. I think that the lady at Bulk Barn was like, what the heck, are you an addict or something? Like, what is going on? Hopefully there's enough. Forgive me if there aren't. But why don't we take and try our candy here? Put it in. Got a bit of an early kick to it. Pleasant? Loving. Almost pleasant. There's this great quote. Wonder if we can put it up there, Patrick. It says, anyone who got a taste of Jesus either wanted to spit him out as quickly as possible, or they ended up intrigued, saying, I don't know where this is going, but I feel strangely alive. That might be how you feel about this sermon. I do not know where this is going, but I feel strangely alive. I think that there's this dimension of theological truth in what we're talking about here today. I think that we're saying there's tofu love of Jesus that doesn't really do much. It's there. It might get us through the afternoon. But I think Jesus wants to offer us a love that does something deeper in us. It's an encounter with this story of God in Christ who has come to us to change our lives in one way or the other. There's something that's enlivening about the love of Jesus. I think that if we have not experienced that yet, I don't think our journey is over. If you've got to a place in your faith where you go, this is pleasant, I'm fine, nothing too exciting to see here, God loves me in some generalized way, like a pleasant grandfather, I don't think we've yet met the full weight of the love of Jesus. Second one, Tetris God. There's this video, and I'm going to show it here, or Patrick's going to put it up, and take a look at this second God. Give up,
perfect first piece.
We stand in awe.
Do you think we could start?
Eternal wisdom.
Start again.
Square.
Good stuff.
Come for another round.
Yes. How shall we begin, my lord?
L block.
Yes. L block. The perfect first piece.
We stand in awe of your eternal wisdom. Square.
Oh, as you wish, my lord.
Shall he nestle it into the bosom of the L block, or will he leave it room to grow?
Reverse L block.
As you wish, my lord.
Difficult, my lord, but I believe this mortal can handle it.
T block.
Rather cunning, my lord. If this mortal is wise, he won't... He undershot it.
Squiggly.
My lord.
How dare you question his methods?
T block.
The playing field is random and jagged.
Square.
There is no place for a square, my lord. And it's only the first level.
Squiggly.
You wish to toy with him? To torture him for what?
Reverse, squiggly.
The ultimate test of faith.
T-block.
Only a master of dexterity could rotate a T-block in time.
It is done.
Reverse, L-block.
I've left the column open for the almighty Tetris.
Oh, another line piece, and his glory will shine upon us all.
Square.
Oh, here it comes.
T-block.
Just one more moment.
T-block.
No, he is punishing this mortal for his hubris.
Reverse, squiggly.
Give him something, lord.
Reverse, L-block.
Give him anything.
L-block.
Oh, yes, of course, he can use that to plug the gap, but then...
Then... The column would be...
Unusable.
Oh.
Line piece.
No, no, no.
Line piece.
Lord, you have forsaken us all.
Line piece.
Oh, what a cruel and angry god!
Line piece!
Tetris god, right? Tetris god. This is sometimes how when I talk to people and I feel myself too, I feel like God is sending me pieces. If I'm smart, I can put them in the right place. But he's just going to keep feeding me stuff. And when I get stuck in a corner, that's irrelevant. His flippant nature will just keep sending me stuff until I have to sort it out and I have myself a mess. I have the potential for a Tetris. I have the potential to win high stakes and points. But that's not what God's giving me. He is feeding me something that is destructive. And it's all coming back to me. God's love is not paying attention to my real life. And so I think that God is flippant and unpredictable. But then this is what happens too. If I experience that as the love of God, if Tetris God is the one turning to me, then when I turn and I am asked to love one another, then I live with the same thing too. I might be nice to you today, maybe not tomorrow. I might reach out to you today, but maybe not tomorrow. I might care for you a little bit, but not completely. You can see how this affects us, right? We aren't trustworthy. We can't take a risk and hold our love for somebody long term because that's not what God has ever done for us. Number three, the 2x4 God. I grew up often with this phrase of people who have said, Christians who have said, God needs to hit me with a 2x4 to get my attention. Have you ever heard that phrase before? Have you ever used it before? Have you ever felt that before, right? That you think God is out there with his cosmic 2x4 going, I'm whispering. I'm whispering to Preston. I'm gently cajoling him along. I'm loving him through. Dang, that's not working. Whack, right? And we don't know when the whack's going to come because we don't know all the whispering that's been happening. We don't know if we've been paying attention. So suddenly the whack's going to come and we think that God is in the business of dropping the other shoe. That he is in the business of hitting us to get our attention. But here's the interesting thing. It doesn't work well between parents and kids, and it doesn't work well between God and us. You see, God designed communication with us not to be a swift kick, but a voice of love. Now, we might not choose to obey the voice of love, but God will never damage us to get us to listen to him. He will never damage you to get you to listen to him. He loves you too much. But if you think that God is out there hitting us with a 2x4 to keep us in line, how do you think we're going to turn to one another? We only have one tool that we think God has used with us, and so we have one tool that we use with other people? How often does this come out in our homes or even in our communities where we think the right way to change something is to be forceful with it, to bring about violence? But Jesus showed us this. Jesus reached down. He pulled Peter out of the water and got his attention. Jesus healed a stranger who was bleeding, and that got her attention. He shared breakfast with his friends, and that got their attention. Jesus has many ways to get our attention, and none of them are associated with punishment. Never. If you ever experience punishment from God, it is not God. I guarantee it. He said no to it. This is the New Testament gamble of God, as he said, I will never punish them ever again. They will never feel the weight of a 2x4 across their head. I have come to free them from that. In the reading from Trust for Today, there's this really great piece here. It says this. Is God trying to break you? I think people often hear God needs to break you. Maybe you've heard the 2x4 lingo, and maybe you've also heard this lingo too. God's breaking me. He's breaking me down so he can build me back up. We have heard this. And if we hear it enough, we think this is how God loves us, that God's always in the business of breaking us down. And so maybe that's my job too with everybody else. I'm about to go around into the world like God has done with me, and I'm to break everybody. But what if Jesus came to heal you? What if you're already broken? He doesn't need to break you more in order to heal you. There's something that I learned when I was in school, and it was this, I look back, it's kind of silly now, but it was this idea of when the shepherd goes to get the sheep that is lost, there was this like, kind of like insider story that went around to say shepherds back then would go, and to teach that sheep a lesson, they would break their leg, and then carry them back in love, and heal their leg, and have them join again. And that touched me. I was always like, oh, he loves me enough to break me and then welcome me back. And I will forever limp, but I will know that God rescued me, right? And I thought this was great, honestly, for years. Every time I'm out there, all these scars that I carry are God snapping my little twiggy's legs and welcoming me back home. This is not God. Because shepherds in the Middle East, when I started to study there, they're like, that's stupid. We never go snapping the legs of our animals. That teaches them nothing. We welcome them into community and we welcome them back to the herd, and they eventually learn, this is where you're safe. I'm covering you. I got you. I don't snap legs. Imagine Jesus saying this to you. How could you ever allow your heart to rest in the one who at any moment would unleash something intended to break something in you? Please understand, child, you came to me broken, devastated, undone, shattered and bleeding. Every moment of everything I've allowed, denied, withheld, or caused has been to undo the damage that's already been done, both to you and by you. Yes, pain and confusion will hit you. It's the result of living on this planet. It hits every human. I am sovereign and love you even more than you do. I am even able to control what pain gets through. Yes, there's discipline from love, but there is never even a hint of retribution or punishment ever. God is not in the business of punishing you, of paying you back for something you did. You see, Jesus shows the Father's love for us is knowable. It's accessible. Not flippant or arbitrary, not beating you down, not tricking you. His love isn't a big bait and switch. He's not punishing you. His love is not bland. It's not tasteless. No, the Father's love is surprising. It's present. It's here right now. It's coming. It's ready. It's alert. His love for you is here, and it's wise. It's beyond satisfying. Everything you need is fulfillable by God who loves you. He is entirely on your side. Entirely on your side. There's not one thing that has made you offside with him, because wherever you go, he's on side with you. You are loved, but not just a recipient of love. You are his beloved. This is your identity. It's not just something you get, but it's who you are. When the Father sees you, he sees his most beautiful creation, who he adores. He sees all that Jesus did in you. You are holy and completely acceptable to God, entirely delighted in. You are perfect to him. These are not platitudes. This isn't something he does because he's nice, but this is your core identity. You are made in the image of God. You were made to be loved by God. That is your default restart position. If you come here today and you are right up against the wall, let's press a restart, because you know where you restart? Every single day you restart as a perfectly beloved child of God, fully and completely in his love and care. You exist first as this friend of God. Jesus says, I call you friends. This is who you are. And everything you do will come out of what you believe about what I just said. If you believe what I said just in these last minutes, it will change the way you turn and see everybody else. But if you don't agree, then you have to go the route of finding your own approval. You have to convince other people and yourself that you are worth something. And you have to fight every day for it, and that might even mean clawing up and over other people too. But you've been given this identity, and it's true about you no matter what your choice is today. God loves you. As I have loved you, love one another. This is the start of our Lent journey. Let's pray.